All right. We're going to bring in now Dakota political junkie Jonathan Ellis. He is a reporter and columnist with the Argus Leader in Sioux Falls. This week has been noteworthy for a number of political headlines. Jonathan joins us now via phone. Jonathan, thanks for being here.
Hey, Lori. It's, wow, what a week. I thought we had everything would be quiet down a little bit after the election, but quite the contrary. It's heated up even after the election, and there are some reasons for that. But anyway, I won't hog the air. I'll let you talk too, Lori.
No, I think we should just turn it over for you. Let's start with this governor announcements here. Seems kind of early to be talking about official announcements for 2018. But like you said, there's a reason. Give us an overview.
Yeah, there is a reason. It is early. It's certainly earlier than I think anybody would have wanted to, including the candidates that we were talking about. We had on Monday, Representative Kristi Noem issued a statement saying that she will not seek re-election to Congress in 2018 and instead will run for governor. We had, following that, we had Attorney General Marty Jackley also indicate that he has set up an account to run for governor. We expected those two to run for quite a while. And this, by the way, follows the earlier news from last week in which Mark Mickelson, Representative Mark Mickelson, said he will not run, despite the fact that he'd already raised close to $1 million. He's going to be returning that money. So the question is, why after an election is everybody making this? Well, voters approved initiated Measure 22, which takes effect today, included in that was some prohibitions on what candidates can do in terms of transferring money around. Prior to initiated Measure 22, a candidate could take money in a federal campaign account and transfer that, that full amount into a state campaign account. Well, initiated Measure 22 prohibited that. So suddenly Kristi Noem finds herself with, she's got a lot of money in her federal account, money that would be very useful in a governor's run. So she's got to, before this law goes into effect, she's got to make that transfer. And Marty Jackley is kind of in the same boat. I mean, he has his attorney general's account. He's got political action committee. He's got to transfer that money into an account for governor before initiated Measure 22 takes effect. So the meat of all of that is that you create these governor accounts. I mean, it's obvious you're running for governor. Kristi Noem was much more official in her statement, saying this is what she's going to do. Marty has not made an official announcement, but he has, indicated that, yeah, he's planning on running for governor. I mean, we'll get an official announcement, the pomp and circumstance kind of announcement from him at a later date, probably next year sometime. But that's where we're at now, and initiated Measure 22 sort of forced everybody's hand to have to get into this very early, much earlier than anyone probably really wanted to.
Is it that easy to transfer that sum of money from one account to the other? Or has it been sort of a scramble even to move as fast as they have?
Well, you do have to file the appropriate paperwork. You've got to make sure. I mean, for Kristi Noem, you've got to comply with the federal regulations that exist. So, I mean, you do. It probably provided some work for some lawyers. That's for sure.
I have this image of them standing in line at the bank that is inaccurate, but somewhat enjoyable after going through that myself.
It's not a matter of just wiring money. It's a little
right,
more complicated than that.
Huh. And so Marty Jackley could also consider running for Noem's seat, could he not?
Marty Jackley is in a story that I had today. He's been asked whether he would run for Noem's seat, and he has said his intent has always been his intent is to run for governor when he has been soliciting donations from contributors or from donors. And he wishes everybody else who is running for Congress, he wishes them well.
Let's go back to initiated Measure 22. Obviously, it what happens to it next, and how could it be changed, in the State House?
Well, there will be, and I'm writing about this as we speak, there will be many efforts. I'll be honest, not a lot of people figured this would pass. And so there were a lot of people, not a lot of people actually really got into it and tried to figure out what it would do. I think that state officials I've talked to, whether that's Attorney General Marty Jackley or Secretary of State Chantel Krebs, they have some questions about how it interacts in areas, how it interacts with current law. And so I think that you will see lawmakers, they'll have to probably make some clarifications, some tweaks, that kind of thing. I get the sense from the supporters of IM-22 that they would be okay with some of those things, some clarifications. But, you know, if lawmakers went too far and tried to, for example, change the fact that it creates an ethics commission or changes some of the requiring reporting requirements for lobbyists or did something with the public finance, I mean, if they messed with any of sort of the crown jewels of this thing, then I think that you would see then a referral. You know, the backers of this would refer it back to the voters. I think they would be. They could stomach some changes to clarify some things, but you know, some other issues absolutely would be off the table for them. So we'll have to see. I mean, I fully expect lawmakers to make some changes to this. We'll see how far they go with it.
Hmm. When is that piece that you're working on going to be in the Argus Leader that we can read more?
Well, I'm going to publish it here on our website as soon as I'm off the phone with you.
All right, ArgusLeader.com. You know where to go. Know where to go next. Well, at SDPB, we're getting ready for the budget address, the governor's budget address in December. We have a large crew going out there, and you also wrote an article recently about the state's chief budget officer. This is Jason Dilges. Tell us what we know, and what we'd like to know there.
What we know is that the chief budget officer, Jason Dilges, was placed on indefinite administrative leave. We have not been told on the record about why that was done. It's surprising because, again, he's the chief financial officer. He's been head of the Bureau of Finance and Management since 2002, since the first Mike Rounds administration. He's been there a long time. He is, by all accounts, and in my own dealings with him, a pretty smart guy when it comes to numbers. And this is sort of the crunch time for that office in terms of developing a budget, the governor's proposed budget. I mean, we are sort of right there in the middle of the thick of that. So for him to suddenly be placed on administrative leave, I mean, it says that something was happening. We don't know what that is. So the governor's staff seems confident that they will be fine moving forward with the budgets. Certainly, and I'm not surprised at this at all. I mean, Governor Dennis Dugard has always taken a very active role in the state's budgeting process. Very, very interested in that. I mean, again, this is a guy who doesn't have air conditioning at his house in Del Rapids, so he's always very interested in where he can, in his personal life and in within the government, of where they can where they can find extra pennies. And I think that they're going to need that this year. By all accounts, you know, sales tax revenues are down. The soft farm economy is definitely having an effect on the state's overall economy. And my guess is, you know, they're not going to have the revenues that they thought they were going to have.
Hmm. Jonathan Ellis is a reporter, a columnist with the Argus Leader in Sioux Falls. You can find this new story on ArgusLeader.com. Jonathan, you were here last week with us after the election, and you're here with us again this week. We appreciate the extra time.
Glad to be here, Lori.